All right, we are continuing this morning our Teach Me to Pray series. Emma, I'm going to move this. Don't be mad. Don't be mad. Okay, you're not mad? Cool. So how many of you guys, is this your first week during the Teach Me to Pray series? No shame, I just wanted to know. First week here for the prayer series. Okay, a few of us. So for those of you that haven't been here, we are going through for like a four-week series on prayer. We started off talking about what is prayer, and we're moving towards ideas of what does a prayerful life look like. And the hope of this entire series is that we would walk away not just with knowledge about like what prayer is, but that we would walk away from it, one, encouraged, but also like excited about practicing prayer, about becoming more prayerful people. And as I was thinking about this week, I thought about houseboats. How many of you guys have been to houseboats before? So houseboats, if you haven't been, is one of my favorite weeks ever because we get to go like 10 hours up north to Bullards Bar Lake, and we just get to be together, our Overflow Junior High family, for a week. And the way that we organize that week is really simple. We have a ton of fun on the water, and then we spend time in prayer, and learning from the Bible and teaching. And we get to do that the whole week. And one of the things we do to start off that week in any trip that we do is we talk about setting goals. What is our goal for this week? And it's something that in Overflow we like to do, not just for trips, but just in general, of how do you want to grow and then understand how we can get there. And one of the things that almost every single one of us say before every trip, I want to grow closer to God. That's something that most of you guys have all written down in your journal. Some of you guys, that's the only thing you've written. The only thing I want to do is have fun and grow closer to God. And that happens a lot of times on these trips because we have this space away from distraction. But then the reality sets in that we're going home. And coming home, we all know that feeling where we're getting out of kind of the rhythm of waking up every morning and reading a psalm and going in prayer, and we just kind of get back to life. And my hope for us is that we would actually become people where it's not just on trips or not just on Sunday mornings, but that our life would become prayer, that we would live life with God, acknowledging him with us and asking him for things and needing him in every ordinary day moments, all those kinds of things. That would be what we could be. There he is again. Gosh darn it. So with that said, the goal of this series is that we would understand what a prayerful life is. And we define prayer as offering yourself as you are and receiving God as he is. Wherever you're at right now, if you were to pray, it's offering yourself to God as you are, your joy, your hurts, your pains, wherever you're at that moment, offering that to God, and then receiving God as he is. God is good. God is just. He is gracious. He's always sending out his love to us, and we can receive that. And prayer is how we do that, but that's also what prayer is doing that. But a prayerful life is more than just segmented time for prayer. It's so much more than just that. It is rather, in everything we do, seek to do all that you do with the Lord. That is the hope for us. That is what followers of Jesus do, is everything we do, we seek to do it with God. So that is the goal. And today, we're going to be talking about what does it look like for our lives to become prayer? Life becoming prayer. What does that mean? It means that our entire life is characterized by Romans 12:2 that we talked about the last few weeks. This idea that our whole life is an offering to God as a sacrifice to him. And then we receive God and what he wants for our life. Our whole life can become prayer. So we're going to talk about what that might mean today. So let me just acknowledge God before we dive into this, because this can be a really cool topic, but also can be a little bit overwhelming. So let's just acknowledge God with us. God, we acknowledge you. We acknowledge that you are here with us. We acknowledge that you care for each and every one of us in this room. And what you care most is that we would be in an intimate relationship. You are always pursuing us. You are always sending out your love and your grace and all that you are to us. You're offering it to us. So would we learn how to receive that, not just in the moments where we pray, but in every part of our life. In your name, amen. All right, so when I think of life becoming prayer, I think of a friend of mine. No, I'm just kidding. He's actually my brother, but he's not actually my brother. But Brother Lawrence is his actual name, and he was a friar, and so he's a monk, basically. And interesting thing about Brother Lawrence, before I read the quote, but Brother Lawrence was he was in a war, like, in the 1600s. He lived in France, and he was in a war, so he was a soldier for a time. And when he left the war, he became a part of, he became a Christian, and he joined a monastery, basically. And his role at the monastery was to cook. So have you ever seen Nacho Libre? Anyone? Yeah. So he had, like, Nacho's job. He was the one that would cook all the food for all of the orphans and all of the other monks and nuns at the parish. And he says this about prayer. The time of business does not differ with me from the time of prayer. And in the noise and clatter of my kitchen, while several persons are at the same time calling for different things, I possess God in as great tranquility as if I were on my knees. So kind of a lot of words there, but basically what he's saying is, even while I'm cooking in the kitchen and people are asking me for things, I acknowledge God with me just as though I was praying alone in my room on my knees, right? This is prayer goals right here. And the coolest thing about him is historians acknowledge that he's just a total, ordinary, normal dude who joined a monastery to devote his life to God in this particular way, and nobody really knew about him. But what people acknowledged about him is, one, that he was someone who was prayerful. In everything, he prayed. He was acknowledging God's presence with him. And people experienced him as someone. There was two words that came to mind in, like, journals and diaries about him: peace and wisdom. People would come to him. He's the cook at this monastery. He's just this normal dude that nobody would really know about. But people would come. They would kind of hear about this guy, Brother Lawrence, who's a really prayerful man who has a ton of peace. Go to him for advice and talk to him about those kinds of things. So they would come to him, and he would sit with them, and he would pray with them, and he would give them wisdom for their life and point them to God, and that was kind of what he did. Well, years and years and years, decades of him doing that with people, they collected his, that darn raccoon attacking, kind of a memoir about him, his writings, his teachings, the things that he said, and put it in a book called Practicing the Presence of God. And it's all about how Brother Lawrence practiced prayer, practiced offering himself to God and receiving God in everyday, ordinary moments, as well as time throughout the day where he would stop and just pray. Now, he's a monk at a monastery, which can kind of feel like so different, but some of the practices that he does, Christians have been doing centuries since he was alive. And I love that about it. And I think for me, as I look, not just because we have the same last name, actually I think his first name was Lawrence, but that's okay. But because this is an attainable thing for us. We can look to someone like this, just a normal person living for the Lord, and in everything we do, whether it be cooking or sports, whatever it is, we can practice the presence of God. We can acknowledge God's presence with us and live in that way. And hopefully, over time, the result is for us to be more like Jesus, more peaceful, more wise, all of those things that he was. So, with that said, I want to start by just acknowledging two things about life becoming prayer. The first one is that all of life can be offered to God. All of life can be offered to him. Colossians 3, verse 23 says this: whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. So there's this idea that whatever you do, think about all the things that we do during a normal day, from the moment you wake up till the end: eating, playing, homework, school, conversations with friends, Fortnite, whatever that may be, Instagram, all of these things are things that we do, right? They're actions, behaviors, things that we do. Paul is saying, whatever you do, it doesn't matter what you're doing, work at it with all your heart. Do it with everything you have. The energy, everything you have, do it with all your heart. As working for the Lord, not for human masters. What I love about this is Paul is talking about whatever we do, we can do it as an offering to God. We could say, God, when I wake up in the morning, today is yours. I offer you my soccer game. I offer you this conversation with a friend. I offer you this. And that's our mindset, is that we're offering it to God. And again, as we look at our definition of prayer, prayer starts with us offering ourselves as we are to God. So whatever we do, we can do it prayerfully. In fact, it can actually be prayer. Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18 says this: rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Or another way to put it, this is God's desire for you as a follower of Jesus. What he's saying here is, we talked about this last Wednesday, but rejoice always. Find joy in God no matter what's going on around you. Pray continually, not just segmented times throughout the day or when before dinner or whatever that is. That's important, but pray continually in whatever circumstance, and give thanks in all circumstances. So whether good or bad, hard, whatever it is, whatever's going on around you, whatever's going on in your life, we can be prayerful about it. We can thank God in the midst of it. We can rejoice in the midst of it. We can offer God the hurts and the pains and whatever it is going on in us. And then finally, Philippians 5, 4 through 7. A lot of you guys have probably heard this before. But again, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I love that. Again, we have this picture of in everything, all of yourself, all of your life can be offered to God in any circumstance, not just the hard ones, but the good ones as well, where you rejoice. But even in the times where you're anxious, where you're fearful, where you're hurting from relationships around you, whatever that may be, you can offer it to God. He wants us to ask him for things. Second thing is, you can receive God in receive God in every part of life. When all things are subjected to him, this is 1 Corinthians 15:28. All things are subjected to him. Who can tell me what subjected means? What it means for something to be subjected to? So if something is subjected to you, it means you have authority over it. It means it's yours. So when all things are subjected to him, all things are his, then the Son, Jesus himself, will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him. A lot of words there. That God may be all in all. What he's essentially saying is that everything is God's. When we think about the world around us, and even ourselves, the people around us, the plants, the birds, the sky, the universe, everything is subjected to God. Everything is his. And because of that, God is connected to all things. So whatever we're doing, whether we're sitting and watching a sunset or surfing or playing soccer or even using our iPhone, right? Everything is somehow connected to God. And at the end of the day, everything is under God's authority. And because of that, we can receive God in every part of our life. In every part of our life, we can acknowledge that it is God's. We can acknowledge that we are God's. We can acknowledge that God created this thing, and we get to be a part of it, and we can receive that from him. So we can receive God in every part of life. So with that, pretty simple, right? We've talked about this a lot. Prayer is offering ourselves to God, receiving God as he is. But it can be challenging, right? We talked about the first week how there are obstacles to prayer. And you guys acknowledged some of these obstacles of your own. Things like confusion. It may be that what keeps you from a prayerful life is you're just confused about how it is that you are to pray. Or oversimplification. Maybe you've only had certain examples of prayer, like me praying on Sunday morning before worship. Or at home, maybe your only example of prayer has been sitting around a table before you eat, "Dear God, thank you for this food, amen." Right? And if for some of us, that can keep us from prayer because it just feels disconnected from a lot of parts of our lives. Maybe distraction. I know for me, this is a big one. Distraction is all around us. Right? Even when I sit at alone in my room or in our living room at home, there's so many things that pop into my mind. And if we have a hard time learning, how do we pray? How do we deal with those distractions, both internally and externally, like our phones or friends or anything going on around us? It's really hard to pray. Or apathy. This is just, you just don't care, right? You want to pray, but you're like, I just don't see the point in it. Like, what is prayer actually going to do for me? Like, I just don't see it. Kind of that we all know that feeling of being like, I don't know. Like, I just don't have the energy. I just don't have the desire. Fear and shame. It may be that fear and shame keep you from prayer, where you're like, I'm not good enough to pray to God. I'm not good enough to be in a relationship with him. I got to clean up my life first before I do that. Or for some of us, maybe there's things in our life that we recognize are wrong, but rather than shame, we have pride, where we're like, I know this is wrong, but I don't want to come to God with it because he might change up my life. He might change how I live my life, and I don't want God to mess with how I'm living. I'm kind of good where I'm at. And finally, we can acknowledge the fact that doubt is a very normal, real thing for us, especially in today's day and age, where you're actually questioning God, whether he exists, whether he is good, all of these things. And those are things that when we come to prayer, that's a big one. If you have those doubts, it's like, I don't even know what I'm doing because I don't know who you are. So this is just a list, right? And we could go on and on about the obstacles to prayer. Week we acknowledged what are our obstacles to prayer, and I think that's really important. But I think what can be even more important to that is recognizing that although there are obstacles, prayerfulness is possible and it's desirable. Prayerfulness is possible, meaning that no matter what your obstacle is, it's not a big enough obstacle to pray. It's valid, it's important to acknowledge, and it's important for us to figure out how to move past that. But prayerfulness is possible for you guys now and in the future as you grow as a follower of Jesus. So, with that, it's important for us to remember this. As we start to practice prayer and become more prayerful people, if that's our goal, it's really important that we remember that God is with you in prayer. God is with you in prayer. If there's something to remember from this entire series, I would say this is it right here. God is with you in prayer. I love this quote from Peter Gross, who trains our leaders and also wrote a book on prayer that's amazing. He says this: God is the foundation of all prayer, and he waits everywhere you are. Committed to joining us and leading us in prayer. I love that. God is the foundation. If you think about a foundation of something, foundations are what things are built on. My dad's an architect, and he talks about foundations all the time when we're talking about buildings, which is rarely ever. But when we do, foundation is really important to have a firm, solid foundation. There is nothing more firm, nothing more solid than God himself. And he is the foundation of prayer because he waits everywhere you are. In every moment of every day, when you're sleeping, when you're awake, whatever you're doing, God is there with you. And prayer starts with us acknowledging his presence with us. God is everywhere and he waits for us. God is committed to joining us and leading us in prayer. We are not pioneering our own way in prayer. We're not alone in this. God is actually leading us in this. And this will be the one passage that I have you guys turn to with me. Romans 8, 26 through 27. In the context of this is Paul is talking to the Romans about suffering. So these are Christians that are being persecuted for their faith. They're being made fun of. They're not allowed to eat at certain places. They're not allowed to hang out certain places. And more than that, some of these Christians are even being killed for their faith in Jesus. They're being killed and beaten and all those things. And Paul has this to say. This is verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Let me stop there. In our weakness, in the times where we don't even know what to say to God. How many of you guys have tried praying before and you're like, I don't even know what to say. Like I'm just kind of trying this out and I think I'll try dear God. Right? We all know what that's like to kind of go into prayer in that way. But what he's saying here is no matter how confident you are about offering yourself, no matter how confident you are in the words that you have to say to God, he is with you. And not only is he with you, he's actually praying for you, which is mind-blowing that God is actually praying for us. And he knows us. He searches our hearts. It says in verse 27, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. So there's a lot here, but in boiled down terms, what he's saying is that God is already praying for us. He's already offering ourselves to himself. He knows us. He searches our hearts. And when we enter into prayer, we can be confident that even when we don't have the words, God knows what we need, and he's praying for us. He's offering ourselves to him. So the other thing that we need to remember is becoming a prayerful person takes time and it takes practice. So there could be so many examples in life of whenever you want to grow, things take time and practice. Natalie and I just started working out again. Well, Natalie's been working out a lot, but we joined a gym, and it's a CrossFit gym. Actually, Steel works out there, is he? But CrossFit is like weightlifting and other just athletic stuff, but there's also some gymnastics movements in it. So how many of you guys have done gymnastics before? Where you do like ring swings and like pull-ups and all that kind of stuff? So Natalie and I are learning how to do some of these movements. One of the things is a pull-up, which sounds really simple, but the reason we're learning a pull-up is because eventually we want to learn how to do a ring muscle-up where you swing and you muscle up on the rings. Have you ever seen like the gymnasts do that? So it's pretty crazy, right? Now, what's even crazier is in order for us to get even close to being able to do that, we have to first learn how to pull up. Now, the progression is like 8 steps. The first thing we have to learn how to do is what's called a scap pull-up, where we literally just pull up like this using our back muscles. The next one is to do a swinging pull-up, or jumping, I should say, where you jump and pull your arms up. Then you do a swinging pull-up, and then you do a normal pull-up, and then you do a swinging chest-to-bar pull-up, and then you finally get to a swinging push-up pull-up, and then you can go to the rings. And it feels really overwhelming. I feel like I'll never get there. But what was helpful for me in this, I see people who started like 5 to 10 years ago who can do the rings. And they started right where Natalie and I are. And to think about that of every day for probably a year, they probably practiced just like we are now, just doing a pull-up. And then they kind of progressed slowly and kept going and going. It took time and it took practice. And believe it or not, prayer is no different in that. Prayer takes time and practice. It's not natural for us, especially in the world today, to do this. And my encouragement for us is we look to being prayerful people, understanding that it's going to take time. You guys have, God willing, so much time ahead of you, but that's not a reason not to start building a foundation now, not to start doing scap pull-ups now and beginning to figure out what it looks like for you to actually be in a relationship with God through prayer. So, with that said, how do we practice prayerfulness? The first thing is set aside a time for prayer. Set aside a time for prayer. Like Jesus, it says that he often got away to lonely places, whether it be in the morning or in the evening, to pray. That is something that we can do too, and it could be one of the most important things that we could do, is to set aside time during our days to do just that, just to pray. I think of Natalie. Natalie was, when she was in college, she had a mentor named Becky who committed for, she's been doing it for 35 years now, not Natalie, but her mentor, 35 years, every day, an hour a day in prayer. Every single day for 35 years. And she challenged Natalie and a group of her friends to do the same for a summer. And it totally changed Natalie's life, and it's changed my life as far as getting a rhythm of prayer every single day. Now, what I'm not saying is that right now, you guys need to start by doing an hour a day of prayer. It could be 5 minutes where you just wake up in the morning and spend 5 minutes without looking at your phone, just with you and God. Start by reading a psalm, and it's just you and God praying. But set aside a time for prayer and commit to a time that works for you. The other thing, I put a Nike sign because a lot of times we talk about it, but just do it. That's what I'm saying. Just do it. Just start praying. Second thing is pray in everyday, ordinary moments. If you're on winter retreat, we talked about how our life can be kind of segmented into relationships. So the people that we're connected to, responsibilities, the things that we should do and ought to do, like chores, schoolwork, work as you guys get older, sports for some of us feels like a responsibility more than fun. Responsibilities, and then recreation, the things that you enjoy doing, the things that you do for rest and for comfort, for entertainment, all of those things. And what would it look like for those everyday, ordinary moments to become more prayerful? One of the ways that we can learn how to do that is learning breath prayer, or breathing prayer, as we call it. There's a ton of different types of breathing prayer. One that I want to teach you guys right now before we enter into kind of a reflection activity about our own lives is this one. So here's how this works. Wherever you at, whether it's during a set aside time for prayer, no raccoon, set aside time for prayer, or just in an everyday ordinary moment, in a conversation with a friend, playing in your soccer game, whatever that may be, you can do this. First one is acknowledge what you need. This may be the hardest part of it, but we all can kind of have a sense of knowing what we need in the moment, right? We all can have a sense of like, okay, right now I really need patience, or I need peace, or I need energy, whatever that may be. The second step is simply breathing out whatever the thing is that's keeping you from having what you need. So, for example, breathe out anxiety, breathe out fear, breathe out hurt or frustration or anger or whatever that may be. Breathe that out, and then breathe in what you need from God. So for example, you have a moment where you breathe in, and then you breathe out anxiety, and you breathe in God's peace. And really what you're doing in that moment is you're focusing your heart and your mind on God, and you're using breathing to do that. So you breathe out anger. Breathe in God's patience. Breathe out jealousy. Breathe in God's love. Breathe out shame. Breathe in God's grace. Right? Really simple. You can do that over and over again until you are kind of totally focused on whatever it is that you're receiving from God. But this is like basic, awesome, great way to start kinds of prayer. So that's something I just want to teach you as we go into a reflection exercise. So for those of you, all of you guys should have one of these. And we're just going to enter into a little time thinking about how our lives could become more prayerful. So the first thing that you're going to do is you're going to prayerfully think about your life, your day to day, and what are some times that you can set aside for just prayer. So nothing else that you're doing except for prayer. And that could be the breathing prayer. We learned about praying scripture, but just being with God in prayer. So I kind of had the days of the week abbreviated there. So you can circle what days make the most sense for you right now in your life to set aside time for prayer. You can commit to every day, or you can commit to a couple days, however you want to start. And then what do you want to commit to for focused time of prayer? So how long do you want to commit to? I would say at least 5 minutes, because it takes me about 10 minutes to even get my mind like away from the other things that I'm focusing on. But commit to that. So we'll do that in a moment. Don't do it right now. And then the next few pages just talk about the everyday ordinary moments. And there's some reflection questions just to get you thinking about your life, about your relationships, about your responsibilities like school and all those things, and then recreation, the things that you enjoy doing. And just some ways to think about how can those things become prayer and how can we become more prayerful in those things. So we're going to break off and do that. Now, what I'll say is you guys are welcome to spread out around the room. My only expectation is this. Please do not distract one another. So if you think that it'll be distracting to sit near someone because they're your friend or because you'd rather chat with them, like, I'm not going to sit next to Natalie because I just want to talk the whole time, right? But this time is for you to be with God and to really reflect on your life right now, how to become more prayerful. So if you want to go sit in the little hallway area or back on the couches or stay where you are, you do that. And then at some point, the worship team's going to come up and we'll enter into our musical worship time. But until then, you guys have this time for between you and God to go through this. So, go for it.